And Ray and I spent 15 days up in Sequoia. Had a great time. I guess we did spend a week with Dwayne and Janice and John. We enjoyed being with them. Enjoyed going fishing with John. John tells me this morning that he's reading a book on fishing, so I should tell him later to go ahead and loan it to me when he's done. Maybe I can learn something. Dwayne and Janice, I think, got home on Monday night, and Inery and I got home late.
Saturday.
Huh?
They came home Saturday.
They came home Saturday, that's right. Okay, came home Saturday. Because John had to go to school on Monday, and we got home Wednesday of the following week, and I really couldn't move very well, and I'm moving better today than I did on Wednesday. Dwayne and I did some pondering over the Bible study this morning. We talked about foolish talking. You know, actually, Dwayne and I have had conversations of foolish talking for a lot of years. I remember when we had the addition onto the building, how he cut to one of those water pipes with a skill saw. And I remember that. We've talked about that a few times. And then we went backpacking, and he gave four of us, I think, an 18-ounce bottle of Wesson oil, which we all came back with, hardly using any. We talked about that. We had some good times. And then, you know, Dwayne being a USC fan, I mean a UCLA fan, we've shared some little foolish talking about that. In fact, even up in the mountains, Dwayne wore his USC hat, and I wore my UCLA hat one day. And today I reminded him the latest addition that UCLA won the game yesterday. I kind of reminded him about that. So a lot of foolish talking, but it's all in good fun, and we have a good time with it. It's not anything serious. So don't nobody get the feeling that we are really walking down the wrong path. I appreciate that Brian reading the Psalms of 90th. Chapter, which is very appropriate for the lesson that I'm to give today. Topic is save the minutes. Save the minutes. We set our clocks back or forward 1 hour on a Sunday morning twice a year. Every time I mess around with that spring up and fall back routine, I smile. It always reminds me of the story of the backwoods lady in Louisiana who wrote the government one summer complaining about this newfangled plan called daylight savings time. She argued that extra hour of sunshine done burnt up all my tomato plants. It's remarkable how much difference 1 hour makes, even when you don't raise tomatoes. It hits me when I look out my window in the late afternoon expecting to see a mellow golden glow at dusk, but finding instead everything black. The opposite occurs at dawn. It takes us, all of us, several days to become accustomed to the switch. Funny, we'd never notice it if it had been a gradual thing. Like only a couple of minutes a week, but it's sudden. Out of the blue, we're a full hour into brighter mornings in the spring and darker evenings during the fall. Time is an intriguing subject. I find it intriguing. Some occasions it seems so elusive, so slippery. Whoosh, there goes a week. Then a month. Yet there are other segments of time that pass with the speed of a glacier. Have you noticed how stubborn and uncooperative time is? When you want time to zip by, it drags. Then when you want it to slow down to a crawl, it's tomorrow already. Time is very relative. 2 weeks on a vacation, for example, is never the same as 2 weeks on a diet, is it? Have you noticed how quickly deadlines arrive even though you try to push them away? Isn't it amazing how slowly habits are broken? Especially the bad ones, even though you desire to conquer them immediately. Another thing about time, it may be a great healer, but it's a rotten beautician. Each hour has exactly 60 minutes, no more, no less. God alone is the master of time, not us. He is the only one who changes the times and seasons, Daniel 2:21. I especially like the way David put it. But as for me, I trust in thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Psalms 31:14 to 15. So for the next few minutes, pull yourself up close enough to see the real you. Study what you see like an artist painting your portrait. Like a biographer writing your story. From the reflection in your mental mirror, pay close attention. Try your best to examine the inner you on the basis of time. Lift yourselves above the distracting details of today's tangled business. And breathe the crisp, fresh air that surrounds the clear view high up on Mount Perspective. Look in two directions. Back, then ahead, and in many ways, what we see in our past and visualize in our future determines how we view ourselves today. That third dimension we call the present. As we look back, one overriding thought eclipses all others. It's not very new nor very profound, but few would debate in truth. Life is short. That's not only a valid observation from experience, it is a constant beacon reflecting from the pages of the Bible. Psalms 90 flashes that truth that Brian read so well today. It flashes that truth again and again. Listen to some of the analogies used by the writer. Like yesterday when it passes by, verse 4. Life is short as a watch in the night, verse 4. Life is short like grass, it sprouts and withers, verses 5 through 6. Life is short like a sigh, verse 9. And life is short, soon it is gone, verse 10. This morning we will discuss several facets of time. First of all, the nature of time. As we mature and become responsible adults, we should make every effort to understand time. The Apostle Paul understood that concept and he wrote, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things behind me." When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find while traveling on, time gone, and face eternity begun, time done. Time is elusive, therefore, we must pursue excellence in time management. Time, nothing is shorter, since it is insufficient for the accomplishment of your projects. Nothing is longer, since it is the measure of eternity. Time is the same for all human beings. Sometimes we think, you know, well, it's not like that for someone else. But that's not true. That's the wrong concept. We might say that we all have the same pie 24 hours a day. Everything depends upon how you slice it. We're in total control of our time. Our days are identical suitcases, all the same size, but some people can pack more into them than others. If it weren't for the last minute, a lot of things would never get done. Now, I can say that I'm guilty of that from time to time myself. Much time is wasted, not in hours, but in minutes. Either we master our minutes or we become slaves to them. We use time, or time uses us. Benjamin Franklin once wisely stated, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff that life is made of." A worthwhile aid to increasing the value of your time and work is to realize that what great things can be done in a few minutes. For example, Abraham Lincoln delivered his famous Gettysburg Address in 5 minutes. Napoleon said that he conquered the Austrians because they did not know the value of 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Our Lord Jesus Christ delivered his Sermon on the Mount in about 15 minutes, a period of time with everlasting consequences. Do not wait until the end of your life to learn the value of time. Even a moment can be packed with untold wealth. Queen Elizabeth I learned this truth on her deathbed. There she cried out, "All my possessions for a moment of time." Life is a vapor. Life is a vapor. On the old show, Northern Exposure, the character Holling Vanacure told someone, "When I was a child, I sit on in my grandma's old iron bathtub and tried to hold water that dripped out of the faucet. No matter how hard I held my fingers, the water always leaked out anyway." That's the way it is with time. No matter how hard we try to squeeze it, it slips away anyway. Time is a sort of river of passing events, and strong as its current, no sooner is a thing brought to sight than it is swept by and another takes its place, and this too will be swept away. James states in James 4, 13 through 15, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this and that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Peter teaches in 1 Peter 1:24 to 25, "For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." Life is like a shadow. Life is like a shadow. Job spoke with experience. He had a lot of adversity, but he controlled that adversity to a godly life. Job 14, 1 and 2. "Man born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure." Or we're like that song that says, we're traveling pilgrims through this life. We're not going to endure. But there's a better place for us. Far better place. It is sobering to realize a man must do his whole life's work in about 2,500 weeks. Did you ever think of that? 2,500 weeks. That's only 17,500 days. King David explains it in Psalms 90. We'll read the 9th and 10th verses. "In all our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan." With not a moon, but a moan. There's an A there. The length of our days is 70 or 80. If we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. Then in the 39th Psalm, verse 4, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. How many breaths do we take in a day? It just shows how very, very short our time is. We need to be watchful. We need to be watchful. Christ admonished, Matthew 25:13, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or hour. And then in the 13th chapter of Luke, verses 34 to 36, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, or a life of amusement, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch. And pray that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. We must be very watchful. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time we own. Now. Love life, toil with a will, do not wait until tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. Be alert to our weaknesses. Christ spoke here to Peter, and we read in Mark 14:38, Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for an hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Jesus teaches, and also in Matthew 24:42-44. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known on what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We're going to have a couple of attitude value comparisons, the negative and the positive attitudes as Christians. First of all, the negative. A negative attitude is to be deliberately lazy on the temporal job by putting a dollar value on time, saying, if I put in my time, I'll get paid anyway. Some people think their temporal work in terms of coffee breaks and vacations and sick time with pay, instead of seeking ways to fill up time with productive activity, they go about creating ways to kill time. That's a negative. Put off tomorrow what could have been done today. Matthew Cornish is a mortician in Naxalwatucks, Virginia, who recently opened his drive-through viewing window for people who don't have the time or ability to bid farewells inside. Cornish continues, people are too busy these days with work. That's just one way of making it easier for them. If Mr. Cornish's drive-through window is successful, we're too busy, way too busy. On the other hand, positive attitudes. Positive attitude is that we do not dismiss small amounts of time as having no value. For example, if you waste 10 minutes a day, over the course of a year, we will have wasted a week and a half. A positive attitude is to decide to get up 30 minutes early. Do this for a year and you will add 7.5 days to your waking world. Getting up early in the morning to meet with God has been the practice of most of history's great men of God. The Bible tells us that early rising was the practice of Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, David, and Daniel. It's a very good attitude to have. The virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 is described by Lemuel as a one who riseth while it is yet night. Concept is good for increasing our time. We read that in Proverbs 31, verses 15 through 17. She gets up while it is dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girl. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. Mark wrote this of Jesus. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Robert Browning must potentially was thinking of this when he wrote, "We have no time to sport away the hours. All must be earnest in a world like ours." Time and eternity. Some say that time is the great solver of problems, the strengthener, the great peacemaker, and the great consoler. But in my view, those descriptions belong to God alone and not a part of his creation. A Norwegian businessman spent his 80th birthday concentrating how he had used his time through the decades. He figured out that he had spent nearly 5 years waiting for people, 3 months scolding children, and a year and a half ordering dogs to lie down and be quiet. Lord William Russell, one on the scaffold about to be beheaded, took his watch from his pocket and gave it to Dr. Burnett, who was attending him with the remark, "My timepiece may be of service to you. I have no further occasion for it. My thoughts are fixed on eternity." We need to keep our thoughts and efforts fixed on that goal of eternity. Live our lives right in accordance with the will of God. Time is a slice of eternity. Where will you spend your eternity? I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me. Can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Solomon states, Ecclesiastes 12:1, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, for the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" The planning process. Nelson, a great French surgeon, once said that if he had 4 minutes in which to perform an operation on which life depended, he would take 1 minute to consider how best to do it. We have the example of Joseph and the planning process. What a great story that is. Genesis 41:54-57. "And the 7 years of famine began just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all other lands, but the whole land of Egypt, there was no food. When all Egypt began to feel a famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, 'Go to Joseph and do what he tells you.' When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt, and all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the world." Joseph was a great planner. Sure, God was with him, but nevertheless, he was a great man. You have the example of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Then in 1 Corinthians 1, 27 to 29, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before him. Blessed is the man whose watch keeps church time as well as business time. Counting time is not merely as important as making time count. Time. Some folks save it, others make it, most waste it, several kill it, and few actually are on it. Many try to manage it and ending up losing it. Time is a taker. Once passed, it never returns. How it is spent determines the satisfaction of life. We need to set the right goals. Take time to think. It is a source of human strength and the measure of a man. Man is the accumulation of his thoughts. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and 7. Every person needs some time every day to think. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Proverbs 4 and 26. Take time to plan. It is the pursuit of rationality which exercises the mind before working the body. Our purposes should be established by counsel. Otherwise, they are sure to be disappointing. We read that in Proverbs 20 and 8 and Proverbs 15 and 22. Take time to work. It is the price of success and happiness. Inspiration without perspiration is failure. Genesis 3 and 19. Take time to work, but don't let work take all your time. Take time to play. It is the secret of recreating self. Even Jesus felt the need to walk along the seashore and go into the mountains. Take time to read the Bible. It is the foundation of knowledge. The man who doesn't read has no advantage over the man who can't. Take time to read the Bible. It is the foundation of knowledge. The man who doesn't read has no advantage over the man that can read. Reading makes life full, significant, and interesting. It provides help for many problems and a refuge for many miseries. Above all, read the Bible some every day, 1 Timothy 4:13, and then translate the reading into life itself. Take time to be friendly. It is a behavior that makes friends, Proverbs 18 and 24. Take time to assist others. Life is too short to be selfish, self-absorbed, or self-gratified. Take time to laugh. It is the medicine of the heart. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 17 and 22. Take time to be thankful. It is very sure to cause the condition of your mind to see the providence and love of God. Be ye thankful. Colossians 3 and 15. Take time to investigate. It is better to be safe than sorry. One of the compliments of the Bible was paid by the Bereans because they investigated Acts 17 and 11. Take time to serve God. It is the conclusion of the matter and the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. And when death comes and cuts off time, he is then ready for eternity in an everlasting place. What a life. What a future. Take time to do God's work. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. Time is God's gift to mortal man. It is that fleeting little span between our birth and heaven's door where we begin God's evermore when time is o'er. Can we afford to throw away and squander time in passing play, O men of clay? I hope you were able to snap a telescopic lens on your perspective of time and pull yourself up close Close enough to see the real you. Study what you see. Examine the inner you on the basis of time. Time is not measured by the years that you live, but by the deeds that you do and the joy that you give. And each day as it comes brings a chance to each one to love to the fullest, leaving nothing undone. That would brighten the life or lighten the load of some weary traveler lost on life's road. So what does it matter how long we may live? As long as we live, we unselfishly give. We will offer the gospel invitation to anyone here today who recognizes the urgency of a commitment to Jesus Christ. To do this, you must have an attitude of repentance to desire a change in your life by asking for the forgiveness of your sins and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All the treasures of earth cannot bring back one lost moment. Come now, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and take the responsible step and be baptized for the remission of sin so that you can begin the walk in newness of life.